Hey everyone, I'm Thiago Almeida at NZTHIAGO on Twitter, and I'm a senior software developer engineer here at Microsoft.
Hi, I'm Donovan Brown, principal DevOps program manager here at Microsoft, and I'm at Donovan Brown on Twitter.
Great, so this is one of a series of videos that we have on creating considerations for DevOps for the bot framework, the Microsoft bot framework.
Yeah, I wanted us to make the title to just rub a little DevOps on your bots and make them better. And that's actually what we're going to do. So yes. Thiago is going to teach you what bots are, and then I'm going to teach you how we can actually rub DevOps on your bots and make them better.
Cool. So let's get started. First thing is, this first episode will be about what are bots. And they're basically, in our minds, they're just like apps, but they have a new interface that provides more natural interactions. The word bots comes from chat bots, and you've probably in the past have used bots already. Nowadays, with the advancement in technology that we have from a cloud computing perspective for artificial intelligence, and also everyone has a phone on their pocket where they can talk to or they can chat with, this has become a lot more popular nowadays, and we're certainly seeing that here at Microsoft. And the thing to keep in mind is the bot that you're creating for your company, or if you have an idea for a bot, it's basically an application to get another interface into your customers. It doesn't really depend on how much AI it has or natural language, but if you can make the bot do a specific thing and successfully, you have a successful bot. So just a few things to keep in mind. They don't need to use artificial intelligence every time. Sometimes you will feel like it. You have natural language processing, which helps in some cases. But for example, in this case here, all that the bot does is give a specific times for you to book a haircut, for example, and gives button options. And the users, as we've seen with customers, most of the users, if there's buttons, they'll click the buttons. They don't want to type if they can just push a button. So you can drive the conversations even without artificial intelligence. And also, of course, keep in mind that it doesn't have to be text only. Depending on how far you want to go, you can even make it just a conversational via voice. But you don't have to only show text. There's quite a lot of the bot providers like Facebook Messenger and Skype and others and Slack that support buttons and other more rich interfaces or cards like the one in this example that will give you pictures, images, and links for each one of the results as well. And what I guess Microsoft ourselves, we have this thing called the bot framework. And this image here, it's the best one that I have for trying to describe what we provide. So a lot of people get lost and they think that the bot framework is just a bot for you to build bots for Microsoft, so for Skype. But what it is, it's actually the main thing or the most important thing that it does is it has this bot connector that enables you to write the bot once, and you can see your bot code is a web API there on the left. And it will create interfaces into a whole lot of different places that already have bot support. So if you want to create a bot that runs both on Facebook, on Skype, on Microsoft Teams, Slack, or even via SMS messages on Twilio, you can create your code once and then go into your bot dashboard and enable the interface into those different endpoints. It also has quite a few things, especially the bot builder SDK. We have support for Node and .NET, and that helps you create the actual dialogues that your bot is going to support. And of course, then your bot code will talk to other things that it depends on. It could be external services, APIs, maybe a lot of stuff can be on Azure, like an Azure SQL database. We've seen a lot of customers that basically all they want, they have this list of Q&A question and answers or support answers that they can load into an Azure database and then put Azure Search on top of it and then create a bot on top of that just to help their users ask questions and get the answers from the existing content that you already have. And even for that, we created the Q&A Maker. If you look up Microsoft Bot Framework Q&A Maker, that's an easy way to create a bot on top of content that you already have. And a lot of the times, like I mentioned before, you might want to use some of our intelligence services, so the Microsoft Cognitive Services, and one of them is the language understanding one, the natural language one there. So the bot framework itself, it provides an easy interface into the intelligence services. It creates that connector that you can then configure all the different support and endpoints, and also you can host that bot code anywhere, web API. More frequently, we just deploy it to an Azure web app because it's pretty easy. Just to cover cognitive services, Lewis, the language understanding one, is the more popular one because it's pretty easy to match what a person is writing to the bot to then understand what the intent is. And what it does is you create a list of intents inside of Lewis and potentially a list of entities in there. And then that basically matches in your code to a method, a function, and the arguments of that function. So for example, in this example here, create a pet named Moby. In Lewis, you would configure it to say create a pet is the intent when someone writes that, and Moby is the entity pet name. Once you train it with a few different variations of this, Lewis will start picking that up. And in your code, you can basically just say match whenever create pet intent has been picked up by Lewis. You hook up your code with Lewis, and the bot framework provides some support for that already for you. And then in the args list, you would get the pet name, which in this case would be Moby. So it makes it pretty easy if you want to make it a little bit more user-friendly and understand text as well as buttons and everything else, then you can use Lewis for that. The next step is the developer portal. You can see there, Chago TestBot. I'll show you a little bit more about it later on when I do my demo, but it basically provides you a developer portal for you to create an instance of the bot and then enable all the channels. The Bot Builder SDK, like I mentioned before, it has support for both Node.js and for C# or .NET. And there's instructions on the bot website, the botframework.com, on how to get started with each one of those. So there's quite a lot that you can do with the SDK, like I mentioned before. Dialogues, you can create instances of dialogues and have one dialogue call the other and then go back to the original one to create a flow or multiple flows that your bot can follow with your customers. And once you deploy this to somewhere like Azure, the actual state is kept by the bot SDK itself on the bot side. So you can start a conversation with a bot, and if you save things to the state, like the username or some other information, and then later on in 2 days you go back and resume that conversation, the SDK will still have that channel ID and remember who the person is and pick up everything from the state. Even if in the background on Azure you might be routed to a different instance of the web app, if you have it scaled to multiple instances, it'll still continue the with the same state because the state has been kept on the bot side. Cool. So now it's time for our first demo. So what I'm going to show you here is just a bot that I wrote. It is called the I'm Hungry bot. And what it has is the first thing you can see, this is in Node.js. I'm on my Mac here. And the package that you usually start with the bot framework is Bot Builder. So that one there, the dependency there is the Bot Builder NPM package, Nougat NPM package, yeah. And usually it brings up, you also use Restify just to make the web API endpoint for your bot. So those are the two ones that you usually get started with.
Okay.
From there in your app.js, you use Restify to create an endpoint and start listening for messages, so there and here. And then you create a chat connector for your bot itself. So you can see here I'm using the builder to create a chat connector. And that's where you pass in Microsoft App ID and App Password. Notice here that I'm getting it from environment variables, and this is important later on when we get to CI and CD and why I'm not hard coding it here. So I also, as a best practice, you can see here, I'm using .env extension, and that allows me to save a little file locally, .env, in case I need to change the environment variables without having to actually fiddle with changing environment variables on the machine itself. So it pretends like it's getting them from there. So if it is an environment variables, it doesn't do anything, but otherwise it just looks it up on this .env file. And then I put this .env file in my gitignore so it doesn't get committed to code.
Okay, I need to start doing that. I had no idea that that even existed. Yeah. And there's so many places I could be using that already.
Yeah, it's
That's pretty
handy.
Very cool.
So it connects to the chatbot, and then I basically, here, I tell the bot framework that these are all the dialogues that I have created. By default, it'll go to root, which is this when you register a slash one. And then I have best restaurant nearby, find by type, or find by name. And then after that, I also have one dialogue, a special one here, just to reset so that it clears everything out, just in case something goes wrong. So by default, when the bot starts, based on this here and the bot builder, it'll start on the root dialogue. So if I go here, you can see I'm pointing at root. If I go to root here, I have the functions that make it up. And there's two different ways that you can create dialogues in the Node.js way. One is this waterfall style where I can create multiple, so this is one function, and then this is the second one. I can create multiple functions, and the result of the first one will be passed on to the second one. So in this case here, the root one, I'm basically giving the user an option to choose between best nearby, nearby by type, or find by name to find different types of restaurants, and given a welcome message with that prompt choice. And this is another thing that the bot framework provides for you in Node. And that'll give you, a choice to choose from between all those three options there. And whenever the user replies with pushing a button or writing the answer that they chose, the results will come into the second, and then that's how the waterfall goes. And in this case here, of course, depending on what they choose, I basically forward the conversation to a different dialogue. And then that goes into one of these guys here. That is another waterfall that will go into, in this case, I'm getting recommendations from Yelp. And as soon as it's done doing its job, this is the best nearby, I found nearby restaurants for the user, and it'll go back to root and start all over again. So this is how you build a bot.
Okay, so I have a question.
Yeah.
I see the bot that you just given, but when I went and I played with the website for the bots on Azure, mm-hmm. It kind of had like these four different samples that I could start with. Did you start from a sample with this, or did you just start with an empty node, added your packages, and started coding?
Yeah, so what I usually do, because there's two ways. There's one that is the Azure bot solution or service, and that basically lets you create a bot on top of Azure Functions.
Right.
So you don't even have the full bot like this. It creates Azure Functions for you and then the code for your bot in there. So that's probably the one you went with.
Mm-hmm.
What I did here is I started with one of the basic samples that we have in under Bot Builder samples. So let me show you where that is. If you go to GitHub/Microsoft/Bot Builder.
Okay.
Bot Builder -samples. They have quite a lot of samples here. So I went into the node one, and I think I went with multi-dialogues or custom state.
Okay.
And then started from that and removed the things I didn't want and added the things that I did want.
Got it. Okay, cool. I just wanted to see, because I remember this. Your code looks drastically different than the code that was generated for me, so I was just curious how you got started.
Yeah, and a lot of the simple ones, so this custom state one that we're going to see later, they build just the one dialogue.
Okay.
And then they put everything inside the dialogue in here. On the same app.js.
Versus making sub-dialogues like you did and then just referring. Okay, so it's just the same type of design patterns you would use when you're writing any other kind of code. Because at the end of the day, this is just a REST API.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. It's a REST API assisted by all that the bot node SDK actually provides, or the C#.
Perfect.
Cool. So the other cool thing is that you can, if while you're still developing, you can leave the values for, let me go back there, the values for the Microsoft App ID and App Password empty, and it'll run locally. So you can see, oh, got an exception here. It's already in use. Sorry, I have another bot going on there. So you can start it up, and you can see down at the debug console, it's running on Restify, like we created up there on that port 3978. And I can come here to the bot framework emulator, and this is something else that the bot framework provides for you. It's cross-platform, so Linux, Mac, and Windows, there's the same bot framework emulator now. And I can connect to that same endpoint, so 3978. And if you leave this empty, because we left it empty there as well, it'll just connect locally to my bot. And I can start talking to it. So these are the options that the bot has given me. Like I said before, best nearby, nearby by type. Best nearby, because I'm in the emulator, I put a simulation of my location as being in Redmond.
Got it.
When it's deployed to Facebook or others, then it'll ask you for your location. And this is just returning the best nearby. You can also choose, you know, select one of the messages and see the actual content of what's being sent back and forth. So that's pretty cool, and that's the node introduction to the bot framework. I can also show you an example here in Windows with the .NET SDK. So in this bot here, you can see it's all C#, and if I have a look at the NuGet packages for it, I'm using Authbot for authentication with Microsoft accounts, but the important one is the Microsoft.bot.builder. And this is the NuGet package that's the main one for you to use the bot SDK, the bot framework SDK, inside a C# or a .NET application.
Great. So if you're comfortable with .NET, you can obviously go this route. If you're comfortable with JavaScript or Node.js, you can obviously go the Node route.
Yep.
So you don't have to choose one language or the other. Do either one of the language choices affect the ability of what your bot can do?
The SDKs themselves, they have different features, but they do have a list of features that both support pretty well.
Got it.
There's just a few different ways of getting to the same thing. For example, with the Node one, you saw the idea of waterfall style for writing the dialogues, and in .NET, it's a little bit different.
Okay.
But the actual bot interface, and then once you have it deployed, it will respond exactly the same. So you can use the emulator for both.
Got it.
Or deploy for both.
Okay.
Another thing that they provide for the .NET one is you can go to the botframework.com website and go into the developer section, and they'll give you a file for you to download, a zip file for you to download and put into your packages location. So if I go to Documents, Visual Studio Templates, Project Templates, under C#, I have that one, botapplication.zip,
okay.
And you download it from their website. And what that gives you is a... Let me close that.
Is it a template for a new project?
Yeah, and that gives you a template for a new project. Sorry, let me go back. So if you go File, New Project, and you can see here there's the bot application. I think I have that zip file somewhere else, so it's there twice. But that gives you a starting point. So you can either do this, or like I mentioned before, you can go to those bot builder samples and get a sample and then start from there.
Perfect.
Yep. So this Azure bot here, what we have is I created multiple dialogues in different, we created multiple dialogues in different projects. So you can see here, one is for automation accounts, one is for virtual machines, for VM dialogues here. But, and this is interesting because I already have it hooked up with Lewis. So if someone says, list my virtual machines or list VMs, it'll go up to Lewis. I configured Lewis for it. And if you say list VMs, it's going to find, oh, this is the Lewis intent. So it's going to call this method for me behind the scenes. So that's support that the bot framework provides for you. And also, you can get entities and everything else. So if you have one, we have one here that's start a VM with a specific name, that VM name would become an entity that comes back in the Lewis result as well. So you know which VM to start.
Got it.
And then from here, you go in and do the actual work of, in this case, finding all the virtual machines, creating the results that the bot's going to send, and then you tell the bot to send the available VMs you have are these. So if I start debugging this, and you saw before with Node, it was Restify, and here it just starts with localhost and IIS Express. And I'll restart the bot framework emulator here, and we'll connect to that same endpoint to talk to the Azure bot, but in this case, locally here on my machine. Okay, it takes a few seconds to come up. Here we go, 3978. And I will connect to the bot, and basically this is bringing the bot up in Visual Studio, and then I can start typing to it. You see the first thing, it picked it up from the root dialog, and you can think of dialogs, I forgot to mention that before, but they are stackable. So like in Node, we saw that one dialog, the root one called another one. In this case, most of what the beginning here goes into our root dialog in .NET and explains, you want to log in? Sure, I'll go on and authenticate. I'd already logged in with my Microsoft account, and all it asks is for you to confirm, just like you do with two-factor auth, is to confirm the same code. So I copied and pasted that here. And now it knows that I'm logged in with this account, and I have all these subscriptions to work with. So I can choose a subscription. And now, if I do list VMs, it's basically going to the root dialog, trying to figure that out. If it doesn't understand it, it's going to forward it to the, it's going to find any of the other dialogs that understand, that can understand the command, and then forward it to the list VMs, which is in the VM dialog.
Got it.
And the way I did that is, I can show you here, is in this dialog factory. And basically, I create a list of all the dialogs that I know can support. So automation, resource group, and VM dialog that I created here. And I created, made those dialogs a specific type that has, they have an extra method that say can support.
Okay.
And they basically go to Lewis and say, do you understand this? And it'll say yes, and then it forwards it to that specific dialog.
Got it.
So that's two examples, Node and .NET. An introduction to the bot framework, and there's quite a lot that you can do with it. So so check it out and create your bot and send us your questions if you have any.
Perfect. You can do that obviously via Twitter like we did before.
Yeah.
And this is where we're going to kind of switch. So you understand now that a bot is essentially just a web service. It uses the framework from Azure to be able to turn it into a bot so that we can type to it and communicate with it. But because it's software, a lot of us are going to want to be able to implement DevOps best practices against that project. Especially as it grows larger and you have more team members, you're going to want to make sure that you do some of the other best practices. So a lot of people want to say, well, we want to do that, but what is DevOps? Why do I even care about this? DevOps is about continuously delivering value. And you want that with your bots. You want that with any software that you actually create. So when I set off to define DevOps for Microsoft, we basically came up with a sentence that looks just like this. It's the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. And we believe that that applies to all software, bots, functions, Dockerized, if you want to do fat client, thin client, mobile, it doesn't matter. It's about continuously delivering value. And what we want to do throughout the remainder of this course, now that you know what a bot is teach you how we can actually apply those DevOps best practices to your bot development as well. So this is what we mean by DevOps. So why apply it to your bots? Well, you should apply it to your bots because your bots are software. And you want to make sure that your bots keep your customers happy so people don't go off and use someone else's bot. Imagine that you're on your mobile phone. If the game that you're playing right now dissatisfies you in any way, you uninstall it and you go and get another app that does the exact same thing. Well, as bots become more popular, I'm sure there's going to be multiple bots that all do the exact same thing, and we want our customers to use our bots. So you need to make sure that you implement these best practices so that you can continuously deliver value to your end users. What we're going to do going forward is we're actually going to help you apply some of those best practices. So we're going to come to wrap this particular session up, but when the other series, the other videos in this series are going to be showing you how to do things like continuous integration, continuous delivery, continuous testing, collect telemetry, and even some a last bonus one that'll be about some extra things that you can do for your bots and extra resources. So make sure you stay tuned and watch the next episode where we start talking about continuous integration. Thanks so much.
Thank you.